Good morning. Welcome to the Hidden Profits teleseminar series. I'm Linda Roth, founder and CEO of LJR Consulting Services and the sponsor of Hidden Profits teleseminar series. LJR Consulting Services is a mid-market advisory firm, and we help executives of middle-market companies improve their profitability by improving business process, organization, and information technology. The purpose of this series is to explore ideas on how to make your business more profitable by becoming more efficient and reducing costs. In modern business, we tend to focus first on revenue growth and second on financial engineering, and we completely overlook cost structure except in direct cost of production or, like now, during a downturn. When we do focus on cost, it is usually either just product cost or temporary budget slashing. I call this the corporate crash diet. Just like people who want to lose weight in a hurry and drastically reduce eating, corporations want to lose cost fast and drastically reduce spending everywhere across the board. However, as in the diet, it can't be sustained, and we gain all the weight back, so in corporate cost slashing, it can't be sustained either, and we gain all and more of the cost back. We rarely change our lifestyles, the same as we rarely change corporate lifestyles. In dieting, we have all learned that the way to be successful is to incrementally change our lifestyles. This teleseminar is about looking at ways to make incremental changes in corporate lifestyle, taking advantage of technology, services from our suppliers and service partners, and best or leading business processes. We as humans don't really like change, especially major transformational change. However, when it happens incrementally and we build an environment of rewarding small change, it really doesn't trigger those anti-change alarms in our psyches. So today, our subject is how to utilize document management systems to improve productivity. My guest expert today is Linda Mason, a practice leader at Global Sage Group. Global Sage Group is a management consulting firm and founding member with LJR Consulting of the BDO Seidman Alliance Business and Technology Group. Both of our firms are members of the BDO Seidman Alliance. So I want to introduce Linda. And Linda, please tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you've done on document management systems.
Great. Thank you, Linda. As you mentioned, I am the practice leader at Global Sage Group, and my background has been in process design and improvement for both private and public sector organizations. I've employed document management solutions to solve business problems as varied as managing a capital budgeting process for a financial services firm, or controlling vendor chargebacks by a retailer on non-compliant vendors, and grant management and reporting for a nonprofit organization. At first glance, these all may look seemingly unrelated, but the solutions all share one common characteristic, and that's of needing available, accurate, and actionable information in order to be successful.
Well, those sound like really interesting projects. So we want to talk in a little bit more detail about the types of document management systems that are available today and how they can help businesses in a lot of ways improve productivity and profitability. And I'm assuming in those projects, you probably hit on both of those.
You're absolutely right, yes.
So Linda, can you define for us what we mean by document management systems?
Sure. I think that it's a definition that's evolving, to be honest with you. I think that when we talk about document management systems today, what we're really talking about, and sort of the new acronym, is ECM, and that's Electronic Content Management. This is rapidly becoming the umbrella term that includes both the document management and the process management piece. And basically, it's a software application that provides the capability to capture, create, revise, archive, and retrieve documents and content, and the ability to share or distribute the content or documents to others who need the information anywhere, anytime. I think that when you're looking at an ECM or a document management solution, some of the core functionality that goes into it is document capture, obviously. There's also retrieval and collaboration. There's archiving. There's OCR, which actually I'll talk about in a sec, and text searching, backups and storage, some manner of process automation or workflow, and email and fax management. Now, most of what I've just rattled off is pretty self-explanatory, but there's a couple of terms I want to talk about in a little bit more detail.
Okay.
The first you hear bandied about a lot is OCR.
Mm-hmm.
And that stands for optical character recognition. And what this is just a more advanced scanner. Ordinarily, you know, and oftentimes people are used to scanning a document in and getting basically a photograph of the document. With OCR, you can scan a document in and you get text that is editable. So in other words, you can make an electronic document out of a paper one by scanning. And so OCR becomes, I think, a really key feature to look for. The other is the business process automation or workflow. And again, this is a term that's always evolving as the functionality becomes enriched. But originally it was software that managed the routing of task-related information inside of a particular application. So you might have found workflow in earlier versions of ERP or MRP systems. But now with business process management, it includes not just the routing of the task information, but actually monitoring and managing the tasks. And significantly, it's not restricted by the specific application function. So, for example, in any process that goes between multiple functional disciplines, this software can provide continuity of control across the various disciplines where, for example, an inventory management system.
Mm-hmm.
Once the information has to go beyond inventory management per se, you lose the functionality. You don't have the functionality of the information the inventory management system available to you. But with business process management, you can extend that functionality wherever the work actually takes you. Now, I think there's one more capability that is important to think about, although it's not specific to document management. I think it's very important for anyone that's looking at technology now, and that is SaaS. Now, that is an acronym that stands for Software as a Service. I think that this is a really important development for anyone interested in enhancing profitability and managing costs, because the software, when offered as a service, gives you all the same functionality, but it's offered on demand over the web, so companies can find it to be scalable enough so that it's cost-effective for a solo shop as well as for a complex organization. Some of the key advantages, I think, are that there's no software updates and license renewals. There's no IT resources required. There's no hardware required, no maintenance required. and all of this results in a lower total cost of ownership and a faster return on your investment, which, as I said before, can make this kind of functionality that we're talking about affordable and accessible to companies of all sizes.
Well, it certainly sounds like with some of the new functionality in terms of OCR and business process automation, and also the ability of making it affordable, because I know that these type of systems had tended, when you purchased them outright, to be rather expensive. And the hardware, you know, traditionally one of the problems was that the hardware and storage to keep it all on was expensive.
So. Exactly. You're exactly right. And so to me, that's, I think, one of the reasons this is particularly exciting for the small to mid-sized business, because they have access to the same kind of computing power, if you will, that heretofore was reserved for very large companies.
Okay. That's a key component of it. And let's go back to the new functions in terms of OCR and the business process automation. To me, those are the two key new functions that these type of systems have, or I should say really new technology available, that takes document management from just a system where you would store paper as a way of getting rid of paper, right, and keeping it for regulatory requirements, to now a full interactive component of any business and any other systems that you would put in. Can you give us some real live examples of how you would use those two to put into a process within a company, like a payables process or a capital authorization process, or anyone, you know, a couple that you can think of that really then turn those processes around so they're not so manually intensive and paper intensive?
Sure, sure. This is, because I think you're right, the document management or ECM is much more than just the storage of records. You know, in the past, again, a lot of the company information that was created and maintained in enterprise systems sort of restricted itself to that transaction spine through the company, but there are just a whole raft of other functions that go on in a company that are beyond that transaction spine. And these are the kinds of activities that are usually done manually, often in kind of an ad hoc fashion, and with limited control or oversight. And I think that the key piece to that, again, is that, you know, ECM using OCR can make the information on the paper actionable. And I've seen clients use it in a whole variety of ways. I mentioned a couple earlier with the vendor chargebacks and capital budget planning, but I've also seen them use it in the supply chain for return material authorization handling, a product development lifecycle management, financially, with Sarbanes-Oxley reporting. This initially was a really onerous requirement for a number of companies. And a productivity tool like document management has made this much, much easier for companies to remain compliant. All manner of, you know, exception and expediting reporting, and within quality assurance also, there's been a number of applications using document management to capture information, especially within quality assurance, feeding right back into the purchasing and the parts per million, you know, requirements with vendor qualifications. Ordinarily, companies had to develop, you know, individualized and manual programs for sort of monitoring how well the vendors were doing in terms of supplying product, and then in turn, the purchasing agents have to go out and pull this information and put it together and try to develop something that's useful by way of managing the vendor's performance. With document management, they don't have to go out and pull that information and look for it in disparate sources. You can develop a program and manage the program and have the information flow into purchasing to use it more effectively and in a more time-sensitive way.
So if the data was flowing into purchasing, would purchase agents get the information via their email, or would they log into the ECM system?
Log into the ECM system, and in your home page, if you will, of that portal is email. And so, you know, a report can be done, put in the repository, and a notice sent to you that the task was completed and the information is available to you. So you're not going out looking for it anymore.
Okay. Well, some common things that I've seen in clients that I've been in is like in a capital authorization type environment, especially with companies that have multiple locations, but even in one location, what you tend to end up with is when you're going to get ready to do a capital project, right, you are gathering a lot of information from vendors, you're preparing budgets and the like.
Yep.
And you're not going to put that into any type of capital system until you get it approved most of the time, because you're not going to want to go into like your job costing or your fixed asset system or whatever and input those budgets until it's been approved. So you've got all this what used to be paper, and some of it still is paper, but you have a lot of vendors today that'll send you Word documents, PDFs, spreadsheets, that type of information. And so what I see happening today in companies is in order to get these projects approved, you now have, in some cases, replaced interoffice mail, is now email, where we're mailing spreadsheets, PDFs, all this stuff around, and then it's even worse than getting lost in the paper inbox, because now it gets lost in the email inbox. And
exactly. Yeah.
So how does an ECM system help you with that?
I'll tell you, the ECM system really brings three central benefits.
Okay.
Okay. It brings visibility, understanding, and control. You know, companies spend a lot of money and employees spend a lot of time doing things that don't add value. You know, studies have estimated that on average companies expend 20 to 40% of their efforts on non-value-add activities, looking for lost information, correcting errors, you know, rekeying data, waiting for data to show up. You know, these are just a few. And these are in companies that are working pretty well. I have actually seen the non-value-add in some operations be as high as 80%, where, you know, everybody was very busy and people were working very hard, but they weren't working effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And with an ECM or a document management system, if you have the visibility and the understanding and the control all being managed, then a lot of this non-value-add activity goes away. Because one of the other things I think that, that happens a lot, especially in small to mid-sized businesses, you know, is you have the go-to person.
Right.
You know, everybody depends on. And a lot of times, people, you know, companies sort of point with pride to this person. It's, oh, you know, this is Joe. Joe doesn't come to work. We just can't get anything done. And they look at Joe as a great resource, but Joe is actually indicative of a huge problem. And that's that the knowledge of the company of how to get things done is implicit. It's inside of one person. And what the document and process management can do is take that knowledge that's inside of one person, create an automated process with it, and make that knowledge explicit so that instead of having to go to Joe to ask, how should this form actually be filled out? Well, you get a task in your inbox, and right in that task are the instructions about what needs to go into each field and where to access that information. So everything that Joe was carrying around in his head is now in the system, and anybody can do that job now.
So would that include filling out forms like most companies have some sort of CapEx expenditure requests. A lot of companies call them AFEs. Purchase orders. When I talk to customers about implementing purchase order systems, the biggest objection I get is the problem of how do people know what to put in a purchase order and all the issues of getting a purchase order approved. You know, like we can't wait all that time and it's too much trouble to try and get a PO approved so that it holds up people buying things they critically need.
Yes, that's exactly the kind of application that I'm talking about. You know, because, as I said, you can build that process out with the knowledge of how to do every specific activity, task, and step in the process. So all the knowledge, as I said, that was once implicit and held by individuals becomes explicit and shared by the organization.
Well, that's a key point. But now another question that I would think would come to mind, certainly comes to my mind, is let's say we are going to, in the ECM system, put in all the process of how you complete a purchase order. How does that integrate with the ERP purchase order module?
It integrates just the same way any other piece of software integrates with an application interface, so that if we need to access purchasing information, you know, specific price data, say, from the ERP system, it can go to the ERP system and specifically access and download that information.
Okay, because that is key. Like lots of times you'll have in a purchase order process, you know, companies are very busy today negotiating contracts with vendors, and so then they'll say, okay, for this particular spend, right, this is our preferred vendor. And so if you order from that preferred vendor, which is assigned in the, you know, in the ERP system, you have an inventory item for that, and it's assigned a preferred vendor. And then, of course, there's pricing associated with that preferred vendor. So what you're saying is that the ECM system can be set up and configured so that it gets that information from the ERP system.
Absolutely. Because what we're really talking about at the end of the day is just we need to eliminate, you know, information silos for the user. Where the information comes from ought to be transparent, and this kind of solution, you know, extends the reach of any of the, you know, systems on a transaction spine.
Okay.
And And so it just makes information available where it needs to be, when it needs to be there.
Excellent. Now, I've also seen recently, and you may have experienced this, there's lots and lots of companies that really shun purchase order systems. And then they struggle with how to manage accounts payable, especially as you get to where you have more companies setting up shared service organizations, or you have companies where the purchasing does not take place in a headquarters building where the accounts payable department is. So invoices come into the accounts payable department, and the accounts payable department's looking at this going like, what the heck is this for, right? And without a purchase order, they don't know. So then you go through all of this hassle of trying to figure out how to do that. It sounds like with an ECM system, you could set some things up that would help accounts payables process without having to do a formal purchase order system.
Exactly, exactly. As I said, it eliminates those information silos, and you could access that information and have it available. The terms I often use when I'm trying to explain this to people is it can push information. What most companies have to do, and what you just described, was an activity of pulling information. Oh, I've got this. I have no bloody idea what to do with it. Let me go try to figure out why I have this. And what this can do is push the information forward so that there's some rationale for what you have and some rationale and some knowledge and understanding regarding what you need to do with it.
Okay. Well, what other systems would you integrate an ECM system with other than just an ERP system? Have you integrated with MRP systems or CRM systems or?
Yes. As I said, what we tend to look for is, as I said, that transaction spine that can be, you know, satisfied by one of the larger enterprise systems. You know, there's no advantage in kind of duplicating that work, but what we look for are those manual and ad hoc activities that people do, drawing on that information that comes from a CRM or an ERP system. And by automating those manual and ad hoc activities and integrating the ECM and the CRM system, for example, you create a seamless automated office.
Well, that's a key term, seamless automated office.
Yeah, because one of the challenges that companies have, you know, and again, you know, ERP was a tool that was supposed to fix it, but it didn't quite do it. You know, you go into a system and you do some work, and then, you know, it's like standing on the edge of the building, and then you have to take this giant leap over to the next building with the data and do some more work. And what we're saying is, you know, an ECM or system can create that bridge, if you will, from one building to the next. So there's no longer these kind of leaps between them where stuff, you know, falls off the map. You lose visibility.
Well, it also sounds like an ECM system, and you're talking about it in terms of a bridge, kind of the same thing. You also find in companies a concern about people in different departments having too much access to some functionality within the ERP systems.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's where a little bit of where you're talking about losing information. So some of that can be bridged with the ECM system also, right?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, because you don't have to, if you will, sacrifice security in one area to try to develop an efficiency in another. You know, ECM can provide the controls that you need to develop the efficiency and access the information without having to compromise the security of the ERP system.
And ECM systems have their own security in them, too?
Yes. Yep.
So we've talked a lot about advantages. Can you think of any disadvantages or things that companies struggle with when they implement these type of systems?
Honestly, I really can't think of any disadvantages. In terms of what companies struggle with, you actually touched on it earlier when you used the word transformative. And I think that one of the things companies need to appreciate is just what a transformative technology this can be, and to recognize that a strategy for managing the change in the organization needs to be considered, you know, and it can be done incrementally, as you suggested, or there's other strategies as well, but what it can't be is left to chance. You know, it needs to be a deliberate effort and some thought gone into how you manage the change. Because what generally happens is that once people understand what it can do, they get very creative about thinking of other ways to use it. And it rapidly gains acceptance and can be an enormously positive force, you know, for any company.
Okay, and so that would also mean not just for companies that are heavily paper intensive, because the other thing that a lot of people think of is that these systems are really great for accounting firms and law firms, and maybe consulting firms and engineering firms, but you know, we don't use it in manufacturing, or we don't need it in some of these other service firms.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, you know, service firms and manufacturing firms generate as much ad hoc knowledge as any other kind of firm. And what we're talking about is a, you know, comprehensive way of capturing, maintaining, and effectively utilizing all of that ad hoc information.
Well, and that's key, because you're right. There's a lot of ad hoc information that's laying around in different departments that nobody ends up knowing about in a lot of cases.
Exactly. You know, the uses to which an Excel spreadsheet can be put are just endless, really.
Yes, that they are.
When you go into organizations and you start working with them, and for all the right reasons, you know, people have developed sort of individual tools. You know, there's just way too much work being done off the grid.
Right, and done multiple times.
Yes.
Well, if an organization were to be interested in looking at this, when we put in ERP systems and MRP systems and CRMs, you know, all these big systems, we always look for who's the sponsor and, you know, who's going to push this. With an ECM system, who traditionally would be the sponsor in an organization to bring this in and start getting the ball rolling, so to speak?
My experience has been most often it is either HR, interestingly enough, or CFO. Usually, very often it comes out of finance.
Okay, that's where a lot of ones come from. But HR, I find that interesting. But after you said that, I could think of lots of applications in an HR department where you would
sure.
use system. Like, I mean, they got paper coming out their eyeballs.
Exactly. And when you think, and as a matter of fact, you know, one project I did was for an onboarding process for financial advisors. You know, because this financial services firm was just getting killed. I mean, it was taking them forever to get advisors on board, and it was very expensive. And it was because the advisors were hired in local offices, you know, but tracked and managed centrally for training and background checks and testing and certification. And there was no way of keeping everybody on a schedule and making sure, you know, milestones were met regularly when information was fragmented and people were literally scattered all over the country. So we used a ECM system to develop a process where they could, from a central location, maintain much better control and management of the distributed activities of several hundred financial advisors.
Yeah, because this sounds like a very classic type of process where there's a bazillion telephone calls and or emails to try and find out where something is in the process, like, you know, did we get the background check done so we can go ahead and make an offer to this person? Do we have all the other testing that needs to be done in order to confirm that we can hire this person, right? Do we have all of the information about their education and certifications?
Exactly. And what you've just, those three examples, are all examples of pulling information.
Right.
And if you have to reach back into a process and pull the information to you so that you can make some judgment, well, then you've wasted time. All right? Pulling information is a non-value-add activity. And what this process does is it pushes the information to you.
So
yeah, it's there when you need to look at it and make a decision based on it. You don't have to go searching for it.
So would it not only push information to me, but give me alerts? So like, let's say I was a manager out in a field office and I was trying to bring on board a new financial analyst, and I was waiting for confirmation that we had a background check done, for example. Would I get notified? Could I get notified that the background check was complete?
Yes, and again, significantly, you can get notified if something doesn't happen on schedule. So, for example, if you've initiated or requested the background check and it's a 5-day cycle.
Okay.
And we get to day 4. It can send a message reminding the people responsible for the background check that such and such an individual is due tomorrow, to just flag it to make sure that nothing was missed. And you can set those reminders to be as frequent and detailed as you want.
Uh-huh.
So it also helps people stay on schedule, make sure things don't drop between the cracks. You know, all milestones in a process can be, you know, tagged on the timeline so that reminders come up. And the other thing that can the system does, you know, is although tasks are assigned to an individual, you know, if they're out for a day or they're going on vacation, they can assign a proxy. So those tasks that would ordinarily go to them into their inbox will automatically be rerouted to somebody for the period of time that they're gone. So again, all the information, all the notification, all the activity is constantly going forward. We're not going back in the process and doing remedial activities.
Such as, because usually what happens in that is the person out in the field sends an email to the person in corporate about this has to be done, and then they get a response back that says, I'm on vacation or I'm out of the office or whatever, please call so-and-so. And so then they have to get on the phone and call or email so-and-so to find out if so-and-so can do this or if they have to wait till the key person gets back from vacation. So in the case of the business process, the person that's going on vacation just is forwarding all of what's coming to them to the person that's supposed to be taking over for them.
Exactly. And so, you know, the person is out and life goes on. And you know, this can have really kind of far-reaching implications, if you will, for even just the culture of an organization. Because you go from rewarding firefighters, if you will, you know, the people who can jump in and get something done no matter what the crisis is.
Right.
To kind of, you know, rewarding people who can go for a week and life goes on without them. I mean, you know, it's a very different way of thinking about what constitutes success within an organization.
That's true, because you do have a lot of people in an organization that have been there forever, and they're, like you said before, they're known as the go-to person, and that could be some of the resistance to change, too, is that go-to person could see that they might be marginalized. And so that would be one of the change management issues that would come up with a system like this.
Exactly. And I think that it's, you know, it's important. I think it's also ethical to recognize that, you know, the person didn't walk in the door as the go-to person. The situation that existed created the go-to person. And that individual has put a lot of effort into, you know, helping the company do the best work possible. And those kinds of people, I think, you know, need to be recognized and need to be sort of made the change champions, if you will, as you put in a system like this. Because they hold so much of the implicit knowledge that makes things click, that they really need to be to be brought in, reassured, and made part of the solution.
Okay, that is key. So let's switch a little bit to what are some of the top document management or ECM systems on the market today?
Okay, well, I'll tell you, there's a lot out there. This is an area that's has a lot of attention and a lot of activity around it, a lot of energy. I think one, you know, the 800-pound gorilla is probably Documentum. I think that's one now owned by EMC that's very well known. Iron Mountain is another. Xerox has a document management solution. Knowledge Tree and DocuVantage are two of the newer ones that have a SaaS-based solution that I think is very comprehensive and interesting.
So how would you recommend that a company that's interested in this go about evaluating? Because I know that's some of the issues that companies have with ERP systems, and what ends up happening in lots of cases is they end up potentially not buying the right system because, you know, a good salesperson comes in or their friend, another CFO, tells them, you know, what a great job XYZ system did for them. So they go buy XYZ system, but it may not be the best system for them. So how would you recommend that a company go about evaluating these?
Well, I think that before the company even looks at software, they really need to look at what problem they're trying to solve and what the requirements are to solve that problem and be very clear about that in their own heads. Because you're right, when you go out into the market, you know, everybody wants to sell you something. And it's pretty treacherous waters if you're not absolutely sure of what it is that you're trying to solve and where it is you want to go. But after that, I think that, as I said, there's the functionality that I mentioned earlier, I think are things that you should immediately look for. I think the other thing that's always very helpful is to, you know, talk to two or three vendors and look at the kinds of applications that they've already done. Because if you are looking for something, you know, a solution around a purchasing or an accounts payable solution, and they've already done that, or, you know, something similar to it, chances are they're going to understand what you're talking about. So it's helpful, I think, to work with document management companies who kind of are in the same functional areas that you're concerned about. You know, I know of one document management company in particular that does nothing but grant management for nonprofit companies. Now, they have a very robust solution, and it could do other things, but their expertise and their focus is in that particular area. And so to, you know, find a document management company that has, as I said, some of the background, some of the skills and experience in the areas that you're most concerned about, it's usually a good place to start. And there
well,
are... Mm-hmm.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and, you know, sometimes partnering with consulting firms to help develop the strategy and the requirements can also be, I think, money well spent on the front end.
Well, and interesting, that's exactly where I was going. I think that just like when you're thinking about buying or selling real estate, it's usually advantageous to have a realtor involved with you just because there's a lot to go through and a lot of things to understand that a realtor understands, or just like you have a CPA to help you get through the tax maze and look out for you financially. I think a good consultant who understands these systems and understands good leading or best business process practice is a key person to get involved with.
Yeah, because you're right, because sometimes what you need isn't what you think you need going out there. I will say I had one client about 18 months ago that knew what they were going to do and wanted me to sort of assist in developing some requirements. But as I started doing it and we really started to have some, you know, earnest conversations about where their problems were and what they were trying to accomplish, they were actually going out and shopping for the wrong solution. And so we changed entirely what their strategy was going to be, but at the end of the day, they got a solution that fit what their functional needs were and was going to support them as they went forward with their corporate strategy.
And ultimately, that is the key, because nothing is worse than doing all that and spending all the money and ending up with the solution that's not best for you, because then there's a lot of unhappy people and a lot of wasted money.
Exactly.
Well, Linda, let's give the audience a little bit of time to ask any questions. I am going to unmute all the lines, and we'll see if we have anybody that has got some questions.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody should be unmuted. Are there any questions from the audience that you'd like to ask Linda? We have a quiet audience today.
We do.
Yeah.
My name is Richard. This is such an outstanding treatment of the subject. I'm just hoping that there's a recording available sometime in the future. Because, wow, what great insights.
Oh, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Richard. And yes, there will be a recording, assuming I didn't do anything to have any technical difficulties. It is being recorded, and I end up having to get them converted from WAV files to MP3 files to get them available, but it will be available.
You know, it occurred to me that it would be very useful to have kind of a companion piece that goes with this, which is kind of a diagrammatic approach to here's all the things that are in a workflow, here's all the questions to ask, here's a good template, a good guide for qualification screening of appropriate tools and appropriate vendor criteria and so forth. Incredibly useful. Incredibly useful. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for being on the line with us. Linda, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share and also give out your contact information?
Okay, sure. Well, I think that if anybody has any questions or anything, they can certainly reach me. My email is just lmason, that's M-A-S-O-N, at globalsagegroup.com. And I think that the key takeaway, not to beat it to death, but what we're talking about is just so much more than record storage. We're really talking about a tool that, when used to its full capability, really can become a significant competitive advantage for a company.
Well, thank you very much, Linda, for your time, and thank you, everybody that was on the line today, for your time. And as I mentioned, a recording will be available on our website at ljrconsultingservices.com. Our next Hidden Profits teleseminar will be on Thursday, August 20th at 10 a.m. You can contact me either via email at Linda, L-Y-N-D-A, dot Roth, R-O-T-H, at ljrconsultingservices.com, or by phone at 818-709-6583. You can also visit my blog at www.hiddenprofitsblog.com. And also all my contact information is on there, and we have lots of interesting topics that we discuss on my blog. Thank you all, and we'll see you the next time.